Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it might be that you're listening to this. Well, we had quite the storm last night. I even heard some of the thunder, but hey, it's still pretty nice out there, and I'm kind of looking forward to another quiet, peaceful day. I'm going to read to you today from the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is doing miracles and healing people and doing things, and the religious leaders of the day are starting to get worried. And the people are starting to say, maybe he is the Messiah. So I'd ask you now to hear the words of our blessed Savior as they come to us in the Gospel of Matthew. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "Well, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong person's house and plunder their goods, unless they first bind the strong man? And when he and then they will plunder his house. And who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather me with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven people. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven them, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven them, either in this age or in the age to come." Wow. So what is the unpardonable sin? And we all have this long list that the church has given us of potential non-pardonable sins. But do they really exist? What's Jesus saying here? He said, "You can sin against me and blasphemy if you wish, but they'll all be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven, people." And how often do we go out and say things and do things that the Spirit has tried to tell us not to? We felt that urge in us to do something to make ourselves more popular, more rich, more stronger, more a leader, and we go out and do something that we just don't feel comfortable with, but it's going to get us what we want. Now we've sinned against the Spirit. When Jesus is saying, this is an unforgivable sin. Man, that makes me shudder a bit because I've been caught in that trap. Either in this age or in the age to come. But that doesn't mean we're not allowed or won't be allowed into heaven. It quite simply means that Christ will have a list of our unforgivable sins. In my case, it's probably going to be relatively long. But as we learn, and as we get better, and as we listen to the Spirit, those sins may not be forgiven, but they will not hold us back from getting into heaven. We can't let Satan tell us, "Well, you've got all these unforgivable sins. You're going no place, person. You may as well do some more stuff and have some fun, make some money. Get rid of those people you don't particularly like. You might want to be president of the United States and just show the rest of the world how great you are." I shouldn't have done that because I said I'm not going to speak out against Trump because that just enables him. But here we are living in a world where this seems to be the common venture. to build up fame and popularity, to have lots of money. What does a person need? 10, 20, $30 billion, and now we got one person in the US who's worth $1 trillion. Well, whoopee-doo. How much do you need to live on? How much do you need to have a great life? What's more important? The $1 trillion that you can never spend and is only going to go to whoever you give it to at the end of the day? How much better would it have been as you were making all this money that you actually shared from it? Shared from it in ways that gave people less fortunate than you the opportunity to survive. Is that an unforgivable sin? Well, I'm not really sure, but it could be if the spirit is telling you, well, why don't you spend some of that money? Why don't you do this or why don't you do that? And you just continue to ignore it. Well, yeah, it is. Does that mean he can't or she can't get into heaven? Does not mean that. If they all of a sudden wake up one morning and the spirit's telling them, go out and share from your abundance, and they go out and do that, and they continue to do that, and they continue to listen to the spirit, then those unforgivable sins aren't going away, but their opportunity to get into heaven has greatly increased. Jesus went around healing, and every time he healed somebody, the people would say, well, is he the son of David? Is he the Messiah? So they're asking the right questions. They're just giving themselves the wrong answers, and they're listening to the Pharisees who don't want to lose their power. They're not listening to the Spirit, okay? I'm not even sure if they're possessed by the Spirit because now there's some indications in the Bible that the Spirit came when Jesus left and it was to replace him within us. But then Jesus tells us here that you can't blaspheme the Spirit. You can't sin against the Spirit. It's an unforgivable sin. So I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that he wasn't Beelzebub, that he was healing with the power of God, that he left the Holy Spirit for us to gently nudge us in the right directions, to give us an opportunity to do things that Christ would prefer us to do. But we're not perfect. So we deny the Spirit, an unforgivable sin. Should I cry? Well, I'm already forgiven. I can't be forgiven of this sin. I may as well go out and have a good time. That's not what it's about. It's an unforgivable sin, but it can be gone away and not forgiven if we but keep on the path. And we keep trying to be better, a better follower of Jesus. So remember that. Listen to that mumbling, that soft, still small voice inside of you that's encouraging you to do something you're not comfortable with, or you would prefer to do something else. Satan's giving you options. Your choice, the Spirit or Beelzebub. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you for each new day of life and the blessings that come from it. Lord, help us to remember that your Son and you gave us the Spirit, you inside of us, to gently guide us and lead us, not to yell and scream at us, but to gently say, maybe you should do something else. Or you feel a little, make us feel a little bit guilty about what we're thinking. Help us to respond to the Spirit. We know, dear Lord, that we defile the Spirit from time to time, and we know that's an unforgivable sin. But we also know through the grace of your Son and through yourself, if we but continue to try to do better and try to listen to the Spirit more, we will be welcomed into heaven. We thank you, Lord, for all of this, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who, when he prayed, taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Bill Gates died and went to heaven, where Peter gave him a nice house with a pool. One day he bumped into another man and saw that the other guy had a lot nicer things than he had. So Gates asked him, "Were you a minister or something?" "No, I was the captain of the Titanic." Gates was very, very upset to hear this. He marched off to see Peter. "Hey, how come the captain of a boat that sank on its maiden voyage gets all of that stuff, and I, the inventor of Windows operating system, only get my house and pool?" "Well," said Peter, "we use Windows up here, and the Titanic only crashed once." A young man asked an old rich man how he made his money. The old guy fingered his worsted wool vest and said, "Well, son, it was 1932, the depth of the Great Depression. I was down to my last nickel. I invested that nickel in an apple. I spent the entire day polishing the apple, and at the end of the day, I sold that apple for 10 cents. The next morning, I invested those 10 cents in two apples. I spent the entire day polishing them and sold them at 5 p.m. for 20 cents. I continued this system for a week. By the end of the week, by the end of which I'd accumulated a fortune of $6.40. And then my wife's father died and left us $2 million. Amen and amen."